I heard a number of years ago about, this took place a number of years ago. Stories told about a man who was an elderly man, and he walked into a Bible college, and he just wanted to sit in on one of the classes. And on that particular day, as he sat in on class, the teacher had asked the young men in class, what's your favorite passage of Scripture in the Bible? And these very astute Bible students were very proud to be able to answer that question. And they quoted off and rattled off a number of very rich theological passages that challenged the thinking and got right to the heart of the sacrifice of Jesus and so forth. And since the guest was in the room, the teacher said, "Sir, would you like to share your favorite Bible passage with us?" And he said, "Well, sure I would. My favorite passage are all the passages that say, 'And it came to pass.'" Well, that wasn't very theological, and that wasn't very deep or rich, or at least so thought the student. And a few of them chuckled and snickered, and he heard them. And so he said, "Well, it seems I need to explain myself. Let me say a little bit further, and maybe you all are maybe too young to understand where I'm coming from." He said, "When I was 32 years old, my 12-year-old son was killed by a drunk driver, and it was the worst heartache that we could ever experience. We just couldn't hardly get over that. When I got to be 40, my daughter came after college one day, came home from a break, and sat down in the living room with us and explained to us why she no longer believed in God. And she was through with religion. It was just a crutch, a sham, a psychological crutch to just help people that were weak-minded to get through the day, and that she didn't have any time or any use for that. And we were left reeling because we were Christians, and she shook our world. And then I was 55 years old when my job that I had for years and years suddenly just got taken away from me. And I had nothing that I could do. No one would hire me because I was too old in that field, and they were hiring younger men. And we lost our house because of that. And we actually lived in a car for a while because we had nowhere to go and we had no money. And then when we were 63, my wife, I learned, had cancer. And we fought that aggressively and did everything that the doctors told us that we could do. And we survived, and she passed away 3 years later. And so now I'm alone, and my life, as I look back, has been a succession of tragedies. And when I read those verses that say, "And it came to pass," I have to give thanks, because that passage doesn't say, "And it came to stay." You see, those passages to me, he said, represent a transient nature to life and to our circumstances. And while they may be horrible for a little while, they're not here to stay. It'll pass. And so he said, that's why those verses that say, "And it came to pass," are among my favorite verses in the Bible. Because I need the constant reminder that whatever circumstance I may be going through in life right now isn't forever. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Having explained that, I think the class had a greater appreciation and understanding of what this man had to say. And I'd like for us to talk about that just for a little bit this morning, the statement, "And it came to pass." And give note to, I know that the phrase itself means, you know, "then it happened." But it also denotes the fact that some things change in life, and our situations change, and things that it can serve as a reminder to us that what comes to pass isn't necessarily what comes to stay. And let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 27. And I want to use that as a backdrop to illustrate just what we're talking about this morning. In Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul is being taken to Rome, where he eventually will be able to plead his case and eventually is beheaded because of his faith in Jesus Christ. But on this journey there, it was rather difficult. In the 27th chapter of Acts, if you have time, we're not going to read the whole thing, but there are 44 verses, and it describes for us a harrowing experience at sea. I don't want, you know, and it would be a terrifying thing. The ocean, the sea is so powerful. It can just, I would hate to think that I was in the ocean in a storm in a ship from the first century, nonetheless. And your life is in the balance. And these guys took off, set sail to go to Rome. And they're in the Mediterranean Sea and things get bad. And Paul says, he makes mention in chapter 27 of verse 10. Men, I perceive this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also our lives. Now, Paul has a pretty good feel for things. I would be listening to him. This will be his fourth shipwreck. You remember as he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that he had been in three already that he mentioned. Well, this was after he wrote that. This will be number four that he's about to go through. So he has a bad feel for this. He's been here and done this before. And he said, guys, I'm a little concerned. I don't think we're going to make it. This is bad. And I think not only are we going to lose a ship, but we're going to lose our lives in this. There's not much hope. Well, the size of the ship is maybe larger than what you might imagine. When you think first century boat, you might think Jesus and the 12 disciples filling out a big John boat or something along that line. That's not what we've got here. If you go on down to chapter 27 and verse 37, you'll see that there were 276 persons on this ship. That's huge. That's almost two-thirds of the folks here this morning on this ship. They were probably crammed in, and it's not the accommodations you would like, but this is a big ship with a lot of people on it, and Paul says, I don't think we're going to make it. But here's what happened. In the midst of this storm, when they thought that all was lost, look at what it says in verse 20. Neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us. All hope that we would be saved was finally given up. They thought, we're dead. They didn't have any hope that they would survive this thing. But here's what happened. Paul said, listen, people, verse 23, back up to verse 22. I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. So Paul says, we're going to lose the ship, but we're going to be okay. God said, we'll make it out alive. But still, think of the horror. What if somebody told you, you're in a car wreck, but you'll survive it, but you're going to be in a car wreck today. It's a bad one. The car will be totaled, but you'll survive. Well, does that ease your mind that you'll survive? No, I don't want to be in a car wreck. Here Paul is, he's going to Rome to be tried for his life, which eventually he's going to lose. And on the way, he has these fears. I've been here before. This is the same thing that's happened before. We're going to sink. And he was worried that he was going to sink. And then an angel of the Lord, they had given up hope. They didn't have any hope that they would survive this. This was that bad. The angel of the Lord comes to him and says, "No, well, you will survive, but you are going to have a shipwreck." The soldiers or the sailors thought, we got to get out of here. And they were trying to let down anchors to secure themselves. And while they were doing that, they also tried to let down a boat so that they could escape. And they got caught in the action. They were just going to abandon ship and leave all those 200 and some folks there to die. And Paul said, "You better not do that. If you leave, you'll die. If you stay with me, I promise you that we'll make it alive." Well, they eventually, the ship is broken up on the rocks, and people are swimming to shore. Some were floating on pieces of luggage and the wood from the ship and so forth. And then you finally get down to verse 44. And the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. "And so it was," or if you have the King James translation, "and it came to pass that they all escaped safely to land." It came to pass. Boy, they were in such a horrible situation, life-threatening, hopeless situation, but it came to pass that they arrived safely on shore. I want us to look at that expression and understand how refreshing and how strengthening it is to know that the things of this life are transitory, transient. They will not last forever. Things come and go. They don't come and stay. And so here, let's just look at about four things that I want to share with you this morning. Number one, one of the things that I can learn from Acts 27 is that unpleasant circumstances happen to the best of people. Even the best of people have bad things happen to them, things that unnerve them. You know, you look at Job chapter 1, and Job was a good man, a holy man, a blameless man, and God was proud of him and brought him up before Satan and said, "Look at this guy. I am so proud of him. And look at what he went through. He lost everything. He suffered in a way that I can only imagine. I can only try to imagine. I don't even know if I can get there. To lose all of your children in the same day, and to lose all of your livelihood in the same day, and to lose your health." Job was a good man, but he endured tremendous hardship. But it was passing. It wouldn't last forever. And I can read in the Bible of Exodus chapter 14, the children of Israel are finally brought out of Egypt, and God, you know, finally got Pharaoh to let go of them, and so they're delivered, and he takes them directly and pushes them up against the sea, the Red Sea, and they're stuck. There's nowhere to go. Pharaoh hardens his heart, and here he comes. And I'm sure those Israelites could see the dust in the distance being kicked up by all those chariots coming to get them and coming with anger. They have lost so much, and Pharaoh was so angry. What would it have been like to have been an Israelite to see what was coming? They didn't have weapons. They weren't an army. They weren't organized. They were prey to the Egyptian army. They cried out to God. They were terrified, as I would be. But it was just passing. You see, God had a plan, and he parted the Red Sea, and they crossed on the other side. And what was so horrible and what must have run through their minds for a little bit wasn't there to stay. It came to pass that the waters opened and they crossed over on dry ground and they were delivered from their enemy. Unpleasant things sometimes happen to good people. Let's understand that. If something bad has happened to you, it's not that God doesn't love you anymore. It's not that he's angry with you. It's just a fact of life. We live in a fallen world And we are subject to some of those things that hurt and break our hearts just like anyone else. Here's another thing that I learned from this story, and it's just this. What we need isn't always what we want, or what we want isn't always what we need. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 67, it's a statement that I think is telling. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I had trouble in my life, I was a sinner. I went astray. But now that after I've been afflicted, I keep your word. He said in verse 71, it's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The psalmist said, there was a time when everything was going my way and I was a sinner. And when I was afflicted, it kind of shook me to my senses. And actually, I'm glad now, looking back, that that happened to me. Because now I walk in your ways. I learned a lesson. What he wanted wasn't what he got. But what he got was what he needed. And that's the way I've told you this before, but our kids had the wants. Did your children ever deal with that stage? I want this, I want that. You take them to the store and want, everything they want. And so Kim did a really good job instructing our kids. Whenever they would go through and start doing that, she would say, you want that, but you don't need it. Because they would be saying, I need this, I need that. And so she got that drilled into their head. And I'm always the one they want to go shopping with because I buy way too much. And they think they can get something that they wouldn't get if they went with Kim. And so they were always eager to go shopping with me. And I was in the store one day and I saw something. And I went, ooh, I need that. And Matthew, who was probably 5 at the time, said, Daddy, you don't need that. You just want it. Well, I told him if he ever wants to go shopping with me again, he'll keep his mouth closed. But he had the right answer there. It's what I wanted. It's not really what I needed. And that's the way life is. I mean, there's so many things that we want. I want prosperity, but I might need poverty in order to appreciate God's prosperity that he brings my life. I want good health, but I might need sickness and illness in order to maybe long for heaven more than what I presently do. I want abundance. Give me more and more. That's what I want. But I might need inadequacy in order to learn to depend more on God and not be self-sufficient. I want success in life, but maybe what I need is failure so that I can learn to rely upon God more. I want acceptance in life. I want people to like me. I want to be accepted, but maybe what I need is rejection so that I can better understand what God must feel when so many reject him and the sacrifice of his son. I want power. I want, position, authority, those kind of things. We may all want those in our life, but what we might need is weakness in order to rely on his power and not our own. You see what I'm saying? There are things that we want in life, but we don't get those things. But God will give us what we need. And sometimes as we go through life in those difficult times, it's not that God's angry at us. It's not that we've done anything wrong. It just might be that these moments that really cause us to have to just struggle are things that we need to draw us closer to God and to long more for heaven and not to get so caught up in this world and the things that are temporal, the things that come to pass, not the things that last. Maybe that's part of why we suffer as we do. Here's a third thing that I want us to learn from this, and that's that trials, they help to lift our eyes to heaven. What if this life was heaven on earth. You hear people use that expression. What if we had heaven on earth? Would you long for heaven after earth? Would you be doing your own thing? Would you be living for God, or would you be living for yourself? What if you were never challenged in this life? What if everything just kind of laid down before you and your path was made easy and everything just worked just so? Why would you long for heaven? You see, it's the rough places in life and the difficulty that we face and the trials that we have to overcome and the unpleasant things that plague us all of our existence. Those are the things that cause us to lift our eyes to heaven and ask things like, how long, O Lord, how long? You know, when can we leave this place? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Have you ever felt that way? Have you lived long enough? You know, I know that there are stages in life, and where we are in certain stages kind of determines how we view the end. Like, you know, a 20-year-old usually isn't all that anxious for the Lord to come quickly. There's still a lot of, man, I haven't even finished college. And I want to get married. I want to have children. And I want to be a grandparent someday. I want to work. I want to put my schooling into practice. There's so many things still ahead of them. I don't know that there are many who are saying, come quickly, Lord. But when you're like the Apostle John, an old man exiled to the island of Patmos, I can see where he would be saying, come quickly. You know, I'm ready for this to get over with. I want something better, something that will stay. Let's get past this so that I can have something that stays. Hebrews chapter 11, that passage talks about, well, first of all, Abraham in verses 9 and 10. And then he comes on down in verse 13. He talks about those who all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country out of which they came out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God's not ashamed to be called their God, for he's prepared for a city for them. He said, man, you know, these people of faith that we have talked about in Hebrews chapter 11, they went through some hard stuff. And it's that hard stuff that has caused them to look to heaven and say, I want to go to heaven. I want to get out of this. What we're going through now will come to pass. But it won't be here to stay. And what is in heaven is intended for us to enjoy throughout all eternity. And then here's the last point I want to share with you. In Christ, our trials are temporary. You know that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, he talks about how that, Paul was enumerating his struggles and his trials and all the bad things that had happened to him. And he said, these light afflictions, and get this, which are but for a moment, they're temporary. It'll pass. The day will come when Paul reaches the end of his life and he'll be able to say, and it came to pass. These things are no more. And there's a transition in my life and I have glory beyond imagination. And so folks, as we bring this lesson to a close, I want you to give thanks to God that we live in a time when things come to pass. In the sense that they haven't come to stay. They're temporary. And I don't mean, again, to minimize whatever it is you may be going through at this time. But let me assure you, it's not forever. It'll pass. And if you live your life and serve your Lord, what will come to stay will not be the things of this life that hurt you and grieve you and break your heart. But they'll be the things that will enable you to rejoice with God forever. If you're here this morning, you're not yet a child of God and you don't have that promise and you don't have the hope that children of God have, why don't you obey the gospel? Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you haven't done that, do that this morning. And if you're a child of God already but unfaithful and you need to get back and begin to serve and live for him again, we'll pray with you to that end. Listen, whatever it is that you're going through in life, it'll pass. But heaven will stay. Is heaven your home? Give that thought as we stand and sing this song. Won't you come?